David Orr is in the WGN Radio studios. As you know, the former mayor of the city of Chicago. Former Mr. Mayor, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. You look too young to remember that, but
I had to remind you anyway. Him.
Put those headphones on, okay. Because your friend Steve Bertrand reminded me that for a tumultuous several days, you were the mayor of the city of Chicago.
That's right. It was a wild time.
It was there's some wild nights at City Hall that week, for sure.
No kidding. I think that's your volume right there.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds pretty good.
Welcome to the show. I appreciate you giving us some time. I'm sure you and your mates at your office are pretty busy right now.
It's pretty crazy, but you got nice digs here. This is pretty nice here.
Hey, this is the first time you've been in our 18th floor studio.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, this is the Allstate Skyline studio. We're looking up and down the river, down Columbus Avenue. We see the lake in two places, up and down the river, and some pretty buildings. It's a nice place to be. Are you a little... I have specific questions about the ballots and the election process, but are you sort of a little sentimental today?
Oh, a little bit, because people keep reminding me. I've been out in the precincts, and a lot of great judges and voters just stopping me. But they're all very nice. You know, it's like how people say thank you for your service. So,
how many years have you been in public service in Chicago?
Almost 40.
Why are you stepping down?
Because almost 40. That's 40. That was my second career. I taught college before that. So I've been working, you know, since I was 18, so it's...
I was a little surprised, yeah. Mr. Orr, to see that on my ballot, I was able to vote on term limits for the mayor's office. On the county, but not on the city, or the
well,
city,
but not...
Well,
you can vote on it, but it doesn't count.
Right, but pending a lower court's decision, though, right, or an upper court decision.
Right.
I mean, a court... So they're asking you to vote on that. It's not going to count unless a court later decides that it does, and then we have those votes to count. Is that correct?
Well, remember, that's I only do suburban Cook. So that is a city issue. The city does not plan to count those votes. It's a little confusing because by the time they got the decision, the ballots were printed. But my understanding, they don't plan to count the votes. Whether or not a judge would ever go back, I don't think that would work. I don't think you could do that. You could hold a special election. But that's up to the court to decide.
Well, just speaking of the whole process, though, it's kind of a shame to me how in the city that happens. They limit it to three. They stock it with boilerplate things that aren't really that burning. I think people would be very interested in voicing their opinion about term limits. I at least got to voice my opinion. I guess it's not going to be counted. But what do you think about expanding it to four or five or ten issues if there was the interest?
I don't like this policy. This has been kind of an old way to not be accountable. It happens both in the county and the city. And by having the city pick three, it means that they can eliminate other referenda. So, no, I don't think that's a good idea. And since politically they pass the laws, you could expand the number. Now, of course, we don't want to make the ballot too long. But if we get all those the judges off the ballot, which we should do, particularly retention judges, we'd have plenty of room for more referendum.
Why do you say that? What would we do in those cases?
Well, let's take the 59 judges for retention, and often it's 75 or 6. You could simply do merit retention. So the point is they've all served for 6 years. You get all your various lawyers. You make sure there's no discrimination, minority, women, whatever. They review as the bars do now. And my guess is that 90% would be recommended for another 6-year term. They could go right ahead.
So the respective associations would determine retention, not the voters.
Well, yes. In that case, what I'm suggesting, except where they say, we don't think this person measures up, those people would have a choice. They could either say, I'm not going to run again. Or they go on the ballot.
Ah.
But all of a sudden, instead of 59, you might have four.
And these would be the ones that have been flagged by their association. And if they can gin up the support, they stay.
Exactly. It's just nobody knows who these people are. I was out in the polling places today. There are lots of people didn't even vote anything on the retention ballot. Now, I'm not encouraging that. I'm just saying that's just the reality.
What is your advice to people, though, who looking at a ballot an issue, be it a name or an issue, they don't know the person or the policy? Should they vote their gut, or should they not vote at all? Should they not vote for that?
I don't think I can recommend on that. I think if they trust their gut, I would do that. Otherwise, you can skip it. It won't hurt you. Let other people make that decision, and all your other votes will count.
Yeah. Violetta, our colleague here, was confused about an issue on the ballot. This happens a lot. And she wanted to ask somebody, maybe a colleague here at work,
Hypothetically speaking,
go ahead, V.
Would I be allowed to text somebody?
You mean while you're voting?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. In other words, you have the right. You're in the booth, okay? You have the right to bring in information, a cheat sheet, whatever. Now, we don't want you to be, you know, showing off a Pritzker or a Rauner sign, okay? But you've got a right to bring information, particularly if you want to have information about those judges. So there'd be nothing to prevent you from texting somebody and asking a question.
Okay.
We hope you don't do too much of it only because the ballots are so long and people are waiting in line to vote.
But that's interesting because a texter said, no, you cannot use your cell phone in the booth.
Well, we discourage using phones in polling places mostly because of pictures. Okay.
I can't take a picture in there?
Well, again, let's put it like this. We discourage it. Now, again, I know the whole selfie issue has come up. I happen to disagree with that. I would like people to do selfies, but right outside the polling place, because in my 40 years, I've seen too many things that could be intimidating. So I don't want to have people where the boss says, you take a picture of your ballot because I want to make sure you voted the way I told you to. I don't want to have anything like that happening.
You know,
go ahead, V. The lighting is horrible in most of the polling places, so you want to wait until you go outside to the natural light.
I appreciate that. Although a lot of our polling places are very light. At least, remember, I only do suburban Cook.
Well, she's not saying that they're not bright enough to vote. It's not bright enough to catch her attractiveness.
This
is all about Violetta. It's not about the issues or even the ballot itself.
Well, you know what we did? We because of our clever young director of elections, we set up a selfie booth.
That's great.
Right outside, you know, so it's out of the polling place, but still inside, and with a big sign, I voted behind you, that kind of thing.
It's all about the Insta, Mr. Orr. I mean, you need to find an Instagram posable place. Everything has that these days, mm-hmm. and then people could pose. But I understand your point, and I've seen people critical of that there's a celebrity or a politician or not. And they're taking the picture of them proudly voting, but you see their ballot in the background. And some people liken that to electioneering on the day of the election. But again, technically that's not. Electioneering is physical on the premises nearby, right? So I could take a picture of my ballot, we're not encouraging this, and share it or not.
As opposed to a selfie.
Either way,
there's no way we're going to control all of this. We just want to make sure, I could go back to my main point. I don't want to have anything which makes it difficult, particularly with Chicago and Cook County's history, of where people feel like they have to show a ballot or show a selfie or some way to show to the boss that they voted the right way.
You know, I hear that anecdotally.
Yes, it does.
Really? In your career, you've seen instances where somebody said, my boss wanted to know how I voted?
Much worse. I'm saying much worse. For example, in the relatively old days, and probably maybe 3 years ago, when you might pay some people to vote, the reason they changed the old way of paying people to vote because they couldn't trust what they did. So then began paying people not to vote. And there they could prove it because they would know that you didn't vote.
What's the value of that? I guess if you minimize the voter base, then the people who are voting count?
Well, it only helps, like this voter suppression, if there's a particular group you don't want to vote. If you don't want African-Americans to vote in Chicago, then some people are offered money as long as they don't vote. Because remember, with Harold Washington, he'd say, take their damn money and still vote for me. He did. He said that very loudly.
John, I use my phone in my cell booth. John, how is my husband going to vote for my candidates without my phone? I need to tell him who to vote for. My wife and I were in the same polling place, obviously, this morning. If I'd had a question, like, hey, Brenda, who is that guy? Could she have physically come into my little stall or booth?
Yes. In that case, in other words, if you have someone that you agree to, because some people need help, you can actually have someone in there. Otherwise, we'd have a Democratic judge and Republican judge help you.
In my polling place today, they were asking for volunteers to help be election judges, even this morning as people were voting. What's your reaction? It wasn't your area. It was downtown. It was in the city of Chicago. But what's your reaction to that?
We had the same thing. In other words, that probably is. My guess is what that is we always, these days, we have a hard time finding enough judges. And we had probably, we lost 350 judges in suburban Cook in the last 4 or 5 days. when people cancel out the last minute, we're desperately looking. My guess is what they were doing is what we did in some cases. You can deputize somebody. Like, let's say you have a precinct with three judges, and you really want five, and somebody comes in and you know they're responsible. You can deputize them, and they can serve as a judge the rest of the day.
Doing what?
Whatever the judges need.
Yeah, but I don't know how to be a
Well, but remember,
judge.
Sometimes in a situation like that, for example, one of the roles that a judge has is to stand by the scanner, and when someone finishes their paper ballot with the little ovals and all that, you can stand by that, make sure you help them to put that in the scanner. That is one of the posts we have when we have five election judges. So you could do that. You could learn that in 30 seconds.
David Orr, what's your reaction to the kind of voting we've been seeing today and previous to today?
In terms of early voting? Or
Either the turnout, or can I interpret anything from the turnout? Is it leaning away?
Well, here I'll give you whatever facts I can, and then I'll guess. Okay, the facts are, in early voting, suburban Cook, and less so Chicago, but still Chicago, shattered records. Okay, so in 2014, the last gubernatorial election, 128,000 voted early. This time in suburban Cook, 280,000 people voted early. That's a massive increase.
What's that all about?
Well, I think a couple things. One, people realize how easy early voting is, but that's not enough of an explanation. I believe there's a combination of better laws, early voting, becoming more popular. I also think it's the intangibles. There is something out there, whether it'll mean a dramatic increase, but there will be an increase in voting. My guess is we'll go from around 700,000 to 800,000 in suburban Cook. And that is because of the climate. That is Trump-related. You see the highest turnouts in north and northwest Cook County. It's kind of the perfect analysis of women, whether it be Democrat or Republican. So I believe there's something to that. The political atmosphere, young people, et cetera, there are more people voting than usually in a gubernatorial.
You just said young people and women. Do you think that it's then more people voting Democrat because they're opposed to the president's policies and they're just going to vote D to send a signal? Or do you think it's Republicans rallying around because they feel threatened?
Well, we do know from facts that both in early voting and mail voting, from very preliminary analysis, it's more significantly more Democrats than Republicans. We do not know for today. So let's say we had 350,000 people out of that 800,000 or more than that, 400,000, who've already voted. That's one statistic. The other, let's say 350,000 that vote today, we, of course, do not know that.
More people have voted in advance than are voting on Election Day?
No, I'm sorry if I'm confusing you, but I'm going to guess about 350,000 before Election Day and around 400,000 or more on Election Day.
Fair enough, but close then.
It's
close, almost at 50-50.
Because early voting was so high.
It's 2:52. David Orr is in our studio. Last question, comment for him. We're reading your texts and taking your calls. David Orr, the Cook County Clerk, we're talking about elections, is in our studio. Somebody texted us, David, and they said, taking a picture of your ballot in Illinois in a polling place is a Class 4 felony. Your call, John. That's correct, right? I think we've been soft-pedaling this. It's against the law to do it. You don't think anybody's going to be prosecuted for it?
No. Now, I know the legislators are working hard to change that. Okay, first of all, I don't remember actually the legislative battle. I was on the side of discouraging selfies, like I say. So I do not think this is prosecutorable. Let's to get the right word, but I don't think anyone would be prosecuted on it. All we're really trying to do is to try and maintain, particularly because of some of the sordid history in Chicago and Cook County, we want to discourage people from doing anything that might intimidate others or encourage people to feel like they have to vote a certain way because of an external source.
We are out of time. Thank you for your service, 40-plus years in Chicago in various capacities. And maybe in a week or so, when the dust is settled, come on back in and let's talk about ways to make this process better.
Be glad to. There's a lot of things that could be done. So,
round of applause for you, David Orr. Nice to see you again,
sir. Thank you very much.